The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
Off the Record with Chivago Lang is brought to you by Alive, Bahamas First General Insurance, City of Hope, the Cleveland Clinic, Commonwealth Bank, Prince Masters, RF Banking Trust, Bronze Electric Motors, Southwest Plaza, Star General, Insurance Made Simple, and Wendy's.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Chivago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Monday afternoon. I hope and trust that you are doing well. If you want to give us a call today on the show, the numbers are the same. You can call us on 323-6232. That's 323-6232 or 325-4316, 325-4316 or 325-4259, that's 325-459. You can call us from the Family Islands on 242-300-5720, that's 242-300-5720. You can text us on 4224796, that's 4224796, or you can WhatsApp me on 4393043, that's 4393043. We are, of course, live on Cable Bahama, channel 969, or you can catch us on BTC Flow channel 612. That's BTC Flow channel 612. You guys in the South, be careful, listen to these hurricane alerts, and do what is necessary to stay safe. You know, it's easy when there's distance between you and a crisis to not really recall without real effort what it was like to be in the crisis. I listened to folk talk about the COVID-19 pandemic, and there's all kinds of now armchair revisionist medical doctors, armchair revisionist economists, armchair revisionist politicians, just a ton of people just speaking with this grand knowledge of things, we shouldn't have done this, we should have done that, we didn't, it really is a kind of arrogance that I find troubling, especially now as we think about what was done, what wasn't done, etc. But that's okay. What I do know is this: when it became clear that the COVID-19 virus presented an unknown situation in the world, I don't care how much you read, I don't care how much you read, I don't care how much you heard, COVID-19 was an unknown. I recall vividly, oh, there's people in China who are dying with this respiratory infection and so forth and so forth. Then it started to spread. This and next. No one knew. No one. You didn't know. No matter how much you said. I didn't know. The government didn't know what the heck was going on. All we knew was this thing was spreading like wildfire and the people were dying. We didn't know why the people were dying, who the particular people were dying. All we knew was that the thing was spreading and people were dying. I recalled when it first hit me, Dr. Dwayne Sands, who was the Minister of Health, made a made some comments that really brought it home that this is a serious matter. And not just Dr. Minnis, Prime Minister then, and his government did it. All across the world trying to avoid the spread of this thing, the overwhelming of the health system, etc. People decided, you citizens of my country, cities, you have got to shelter in. We need you to stay in so that you don't get exposed as much as we could afford. Stay in. So people started shutting down the economy, shutting down the society to minimize movement and interactions, et cetera, et cetera. Stopping large events, et cetera. Oh, now today, everybody is, oh, we shouldn't have done that. We didn't know heck when this was all happening. Not just us, Europe, Asia, South America, all over the place. This wasn't some brainchild of Dr. Hubert Alexander Minnis. This man was following medical doctors' advice. Quite frankly, in those early days, he did a great job doing it. They were following good, sound advice, sheltering in the economy, the society, so that we could minimize the spread, reduce deaths, reduce sicknesses, reduce overwhelming the system. And we still had challenges. The world still had challenges. We didn't know where this thing was going. The research was still being done. Say what you want. The people decided, okay, you know, there's some vaccines we've been working on. We think these vaccines may be helpful. We need some emergency approval to use the vaccines, et cetera. Oh, we all can now debate, well, should we have done it? Should we not have done it, et cetera? Oh, no problem. Have the debate. I'm great with that. The medical people are having the debate. But at the time, people were looking for a way to slow stop this thing from spreading. Shutting down the economy and the society is the shuttering in it was this. Well, lots of people who were non-essential workers now couldn't work and therefore couldn't earn pay. And most Bahamian people live paycheck to paycheck. Some live behind check to behind check. Most, not plenty, most. Meaning that most Bahamians cannot afford to miss a paycheck without suffering significant cash flow challenges to their ability to buy food and to pay the utilities and these kinds of stuff. So that was the challenge. So you have on the one hand, you're shutting down the society because you're trying to protect lives. On the other hand, you're creating challenges for lives by doing that. That was like taking a pill and the doctor's saying, well, you know, this could be helpful to your medical condition, but these are the side effects. Well, the side effects of shuttering in the society was the economic distress that it caused. But the government, in anticipation of this challenge and what have you, said, you know what? We need to get people food. We're going to have to spend substantial dollars to get people food. We're going to spend those dollars from NIB. And the government found nonprofit organizations whose tentacles were already in the society, whose infrastructure was already attuned to helping and assisting people in need. And the government said, let's use those people. Now, this was in an emergency situation. See, it's easy to glamorize the scenario now that we are far removed from it. But in the thick of it, the issue is, get people money, man. Get people food. Get people to be able to eat. You don't want people desperate to eat in the thousands running around your society because they're not going to obey your shutters. They will not. Would you? I wouldn't. My children are hungry. My spouse is hungry. And I'm going to just sit there. And even though the government says we have to stand, oh, bro, I'm going to go find food for my folk. But not risk the lives we were trying to save. Right? So the government did that. It's an emergency. You don't have time. You don't have time to, you know, expand in the details of this and the details of that. In the emergency situation, what's his name, General Henry, when he entered the New Orleans situation after Hurricane Katrina, you know what General Henry said? General Henry said that in a crisis, what you do is you figure out what rules to break. He said, because rules are made for normal times. He said, in abnormal times, you have to figure out how to get things done, and sometimes the rules stand in the way. That's what General Henry said, and he's absolutely correct. So the government did that. People got fed. Lots of people got fed. No panicking. I hungry, I can't eat, except you not know thousands of people. That did not happen in that crisis, not in the pandemic, or not the COVID-19 pandemic. It didn't happen. Why? Because those nonprofit organizations stepped up to the plate and did the necessary. Doing their duty. Doing their nonprofit charitable work. And they all did it. Some we know and some we don't know. But there was a central grouping engaged to manage the process and distribute to others. And they did. And once the government changed, a narrative built up. We started hearing, not from a government minister, not from, you know, a typical senator or member of parliament. We started hearing from the prime minister and minister of finance that something untoward had happened with these monies. That these monies were not being accounted for, and that there were things amiss with respect to distribution, and particular persons' names were being mentioned and targeted. Particular persons. And I have to tell you, I was curious about why the particularization of those persons. There were numbers of nonprofits involved. Numbers, all on them, who got monies to be able to distribute to the poor. None of their names were called. These particular folks were called. And they were targeted as having perhaps untowards. Right? It had been created in our minds that millions of dollars was unaccounted for. Millions of dollars. And who was at the heart of it? These well-off Kadu people who had been charged with the responsibility of this distribution. And the thought of the suspicious behavior and conduct of these people lingered in our heads for years. For years it did. And the chair of the National Food Distribution Task Force, Susan Larson, bore the brunt of that suspicion. See, when it's not you, it's easy to dismiss what it means to have your name scandalized by rumors of malfeasance. To have suggestions made that you did something untoward, stole something, or robbed something, or cheated something. It's not easy to imagine what that is like. But it is an awful thing, a God awful thing. I've been there, done that. Got bronchitis, stressing over that nonsense kind of crap. And those who do it, cold-hearted as hell. And hell ain't cold-hearted. I'm just trying to emphasize how terrible it is. They don't care. They oftentimes don't care. They have an end that they are trying to achieve, and they are focused on that end. And so I imagine for Susan Larson and her group. See, there were other nonprofits involved with this, you know, but none of their names were called. No innuendos was set at them. All the money they're being paid to do this service of charity or so forth and so forth. And then when the folks return some money, right? Remember now in 2021 when the government changed? COVID-19 had not been declared over. When the money was changed, why you return money? You must be trying to pay back what you take. What we were not provided was any evidence or details of any suspicion that arose in relation to this matter. All that happened was politicians, as we are able, got in the House of Assembly under the sanctuary of immunity from prosecution or libel. In that house, that sacred house, you can say anything. Man, I don't need the speaker tell you, listen, no, you have any evidence of that. If you have no evidence of that, you got to withdraw it and so forth and so forth. But none of that happened. And so the thing was reported. And this last endo sat for, under the dark cloud of that suspicion. I did not even know that she had been arrested. Didn't know that. Well, question. That's how serious, apparently, the matter was taken. I mean, seriously? Listen, man. We had an MP who was accused of rape, who for weeks and weeks and weeks was not brought in for questioning. Weeks. He's been acquitted since, but for weeks, and people wondered why. This situation was touted. We didn't know people would call the police, call you in to interview you, arrest you. And lo and behold now, we have a report from the Auditor General of the Bahamas, too. Successive. When we come back from the break, I'll tell you what the Auditor General said. We'll be back after this break.
I'm not afraid to take a stand. Everybody, come take my hand.
Tired of banks forcing you to use technology to bank the way they want you to? Your convenience is important. So no matter what your banking needs, Commonwealth Bank's friendly staff are always available in branch for that personal one-on-one service. But when you choose technology, our online and mobile banking app offers you state-of-the-art functionality. The choice is yours. Commonwealth Bank. Bank the way you want.
In the face of a storm, it's not just buildings that get tested. It's all of us. Insurance isn't just about repair. It's about recovery. So when the winds die down, you're already on the path forward. Having insurance can mean the difference between starting over and starting stronger. So talk to an authorized agent or broker of Bahamas First General Insurance about how the right coverage can support you through this season and whatever comes next. With Bahamas First, you're in safe hands. In all seasons.
Great news! Ron's Electric Motors' new location on Kites to Island Lock is open Saturdays and Sundays. So for those needing repairs on electric motors, generators, welding machines, water pumps, battery charges, electric lifts, transformers, and power tools, Ron's Cowpen Road location can have you up and running on weekends. Don't forget, you can still visit Ron's Electric Motors on Wolf Road and Claridge Road, and now Ron's new location on Cowpen Road. Dial 356-0249 or 323-5267.
Boost your buying power with a margin loan at rates as low as 7.5%. Among flexibility, freeing up capital without liquidating your investments. Whether you're looking to diversify, fund a business opportunity, or refinance higher cost debt, RF provides access to cash within 48 hours for effortless, powerful. Discover how a margin loan can work for you. Visit rfgroup.com or call 603-6000. RF Bank and Trust. Money at work.
I'm not afraid to take a stand, take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather, cold or warm. Let me know that you're not alone. Holla if you feel like you've been down the same road.
Back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. They're so glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Monday afternoon. If you want to give us a call, the numbers are 323-6232 or 325-4316. You can also call us from the Family Islands on 242-300-5720. You can text us on 422-4796, or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. So we had this situation of something untoward happening in respect of the management of the National Food Distribution Program during the COVID-19 pandemic. We had allegations of extremely poor record keeping, and that there was clearly not just straightforward stuff as such happening with the program. And those who managed the program, in particular Susan Lassen and her team, had this suspicion under their heads. And don't forget now, this was just immediately after an election. And after elections, folks, I've been there. Feelings are raw. Partisanship are ripe. Government is riding a high because they won and they now have a mandate. The opposition feels defensive because now they got to, what you did and didn't do, now you got to account for because these people will try to hold you accountable. So we have claims of this no record keeping, some suspicions about what actually happened to the money. And at the same time, remember there was this claim of some $1 billion of being unaccounted for that the prime minister had mentioned, $1 billion. Remember that? So you have all of this wrapped up in things. Then we get the Auditor General's report having been, the Guardian presents a story by Tanika Thompson about it, in which the Auditor General's report says that the National Food Distribution Task Force fulfilled its mandate to, in quote, ensure that, in quote, no one went hungry, that it did that. That also, that all of the funds for the program were accounted for. Okay, this isn't what the Auditor General is saying, but I'm saying this despite the narrative, as the article points out, this notion that there was very poor record keeping done. Okay, in other words, our team and those did what they were supposed to do and could account for what they were supposed to do with the monies that were given. And when they were done, the difference was given back to the government of the Bahamas. Now, in the face of that, what will be and what has been the government's response? So far, nothing. So far, I've said so far. I don't mean nothing. The editorial speaks to it. There are letters to the editor that speaks to it. Because again, I think that when we talk about integrity, okay, when we talk about integrity, when we talk about character includes a willingness to acknowledge, well, we were mistaken. We were wrong. Well, what we thought may have been the case was in fact not the case. You know, something. Something to say, okay, you know, we had suspicions about this before, but clearly from the Auditor General's report, those suspicions have been erased and so forth and so forth. Mind you, sometimes the damage already done, you know, to people's reputation, because some people ain't prepared to let a narrative go. But a genuine and sincere person could knock and say, you know what? Mea culpa. Mea culpa. I had an instance of that in the House of Assembly when the late Bradley Roberts, he and I were sparring in the House of Assembly, and he provided this narrative that I had defied my calling as a religious minister to go and pursue politics. And I said to him, I explained to him that in point of fact, he was wrong. That when in fact I would get my ministerial credentials, I said I would not, because I knew where I was headed in life and I knew that I was going into politics. And you know what Bradley Roberts did? And Bradley Roberts is a ferocious political personality in terms of dealing with his opponents. Bradley Roberts said, mea culpa. That's all he said. He said, mea culpa. I mean, just an excellent occasion and instance of integrity and character being demonstrated. And that wasn't even a big matter. That's what he said. He said, mea culpa. And sometimes that is what we need to do. We have a caller on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you. I'm okay, man. And yourself?
I'm listening to you. All these good things you talk with the former prime minister did. Some very nice things. Question. Why did the Pentagon got rid of him?
Why did who?
The Pentagon got rid of him. Former prime minister. All those good things you talk.
Yeah, but no. First of all, brother, you don't get to shape what I said. I talked about what happened in the early days of COVID-19. In the early days of COVID-19, the Prime Minister had 4 years of governance. 4 years of governance. And whatever I think of the early days of COVID-19, the Bahamian people fired the FNM administration under Dr. Minnis, did not rehire him. Okay, and secondly, as to why Michael Pintat got rid of him, you should ask Michael Pintat, but from what I saw, rid of him too, because he was clearly against Michael Pintat, clearly at odds with what he was seeking to do, and therefore is not somebody cooperative in that regard. But you need to ask Michael Pintat in particular that question. But that has nothing to do with the comments I made. You can hardly draw a conclusion, a question like that based on what I said.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Yeah, you're welcome. We have another caller on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Yes, Mr. Lang. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir. I can hear you.
What I'm calling for, Mr. Lang, first, wonderful topic. I want to say I read sometime last week. The results from the Auditor General that came out with Ms. Lofton and her team, who should have been vindicated. It's clear that they've done a wonderful job. But Mr. Lang, there's a bigger picture than that now, you know. There's a bigger picture than that. I read in The Guardian last week where the reporter asks Mrs. Lofton if she is interested in taking some legal recourse. What is happening now? And Ms. Lofton have a wonderful opportunity. She now, and many Bahamians here from what I call high society, finance, well-educated, they have seen the brutality and ruthlessness of the police and even politicians when they come to the poison, arrest poison. She has experience with the average Bahamian in this country who don't have the means for a decent lawyer or finance to support them like she and some others like her would have had. So I hope she and those Bahamians of like mind will take that opportunity to ask for some serious reform in the laws, in the way they look at Bahamian citizens and foreigners who might be here, and look at everyone as innocent until proven guilty by their peers. She has a wonderful platform. She has the connection. She has the willpower. And I think she has the stamina and the integrity to really have a campaign where all Bahamians could join, all walk of life, that there should be some serious reform in the police, the way they approach citizens and the way they deal with us. I read where she was shipped from station to station. And you know, over the years, Mr. Lang, let's be real, the average Bahamian has been through that same thing, where a loved one got locked up. You figure they went to the Grove Police Station when you call. You can't find out where they are. I mean, it's so sad, eh? So let's hope that something positive come out of that. Amos Larson's and all right-thinking Bahamian, all walks of life, could ask whether this government or next government to come for serious reform in the police force, in the way they operate with citizens. And what is so scary about it, Mr. Lang, and I really want you to say something on this. I read an article where she said when there was poison scheme, they didn't present no identification. They told her they didn't need to. She's under arrest. That's sad. I watch in Miami, New York, they have their badge on, number one. They open up their ID with another ID. They identify who they are, and then they tell you you have the right to remain silent or not. So the police force.
But more often than not in the Bahamas, that happens too. So I'm not even questioning that. I know that to be the case more often than not in the Bahamas.
Yeah, but Mr. Lang, do you agree that the police force needs some serious reform? I'm just asking your opinion.
The police force has admitted and conceded that there's work it has to do to address some deficiencies in its operations. I mean, after all, isn't that why we have a new commissioner of police? And
yes,
so
but Mr. Lang, could I interject? How long do you think it should take for some of the results and some of the fruits of the reforms to come to fruition? I mean, I'm a citizen paying a taxpayer. I want to wait for 3-4 years to see some fruits.
Yeah, understood.
There. I'll hang up on this with you, Mr. Lang, but I'm not
man.
Impressed.
Okay, take care. I don't know how long it would take. I imagine any sensible leader, commissioner, I believe is, would want to make positive changes sooner rather than later. But to know whether a change is positive or not, you have to take time to evaluate. So now you have to see, okay, we've had some arrests. Do we have the same level of complaints? Do we have the same level? But so you can't just sit around and say, I don't see it. I'm not impressed. How would you, what are you measuring? what you measuring, brother? You know, I understand the concern and you are correct to express that concern and would like to see change sooner rather than later. But again, you have to have something to measure it by. What do you have to measure it by? A sense, just your feeling? That's not enough. But the police force ought to be interested in having measurements of its results. They ought to have, they can connect with bodies that can evaluate, survey people who've been arrested and the like and ask what has been your experience, etc., and benefit from that happening. So, but it has to be measured, not just my gut feeling that it ain't changed, etc. That's not enough. Producer, do we need to take a break now? Or do we have another call on the line? Okay, we're going to take a break, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We'll be back after this break.
Everybody, take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm. Whatever weather, cold or warm, send you know that you're not alone. Holla if you feel like you've been down the same road.
Don't wait for a storm to arrive. Stock up on hurricane supplies, make home repairs, purchase a generator, and more this hurricane season with a Fidelity personal loan. Make that move today. Call 356-7764.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
Z. Southwest Plaza has so many stores, I've been trying to find a sensible way to list them all. There's CBS Bahamas, the Asheye Institute, BENC Snack World, Bamboo Shack Bahamas, Air the Athlete's Foot, Games and More, John Bullfine Threads, Alive Bahari, Dairy Queen, 700 Wines and Spirits, Sandy's Clarkson Island Luck, Starbucks and Lowe's Pharmacy, plus Marco's Pizza and Lorraine. Southwest Plaza, what a wide array of stores. Southwest Plaza, stop by today and explore.
As a healthcare professional, you dedicate your life to caring for others. But even with the best care, legal challenges can arise. Protect your practice and your peace of mind with medical malpractice insurance from Star General. At Star General, we've partnered with Lloyd's of London to bring you comprehensive professional liability insurance designed specifically for those consulting or practicing privately. Visit our website today so you can focus on what you do best, caring for your patients, while with Star General, insurance made simple.
Cancer Treatment Centers of America is now City of Hope, creating one of the leading cancer care and research networks from coast to coast, providing more of what you need. More locations means more care closer to home. More specialists means more expertise. More research means more breakthroughs. More advancements means more treatment options. And more options means more hope. Learn more at cancercenter.com.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
I'm not afraid to take a stand, take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad that you could join us here today on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. All right, let me get to some of your text. This text says, great answer. Why did Pentad fire Minnis? What do you have to do with that? Suck my teeth, says that person. This text says, Mr. Lang, you are absolutely correct. Research on vaccines and protocols were still ongoing. I also find it frustrating when people act like they have all the facts, Monday morning quarterbacking and pretending to know it all. As they say, hindsight is 20/20. Absolutely, 100% correct. This text is a lying. Brave Davis first said Hands for Hunger stole $2 million. Then he went on to push this racist narrative that a rich white woman was stealing poor black money and food. His text is, Mr. Lang, I might be wrong. A little earlier said that nobody knew anything about the COVID virus and its origin. Bear in mind that a molecular biological clock was used. I'm not denying the humanitarian aspect of your monologue. The challenge study also revealed great info on memory cells' immunological response. What you said is unclear. But it doesn't really matter. In the early days of COVID-19 pandemic, my brother, sister, ain't nobody know what was going on. People were trying to figure it out. So I don't know what all of that you were saying meant, but the reality was plenty of people were in the dark, and that's why plenty of people in the world did the same thing. The same thing. So, by the way, he also said some nonsense about police officers and defense force officers being a victim of entrapment. Now they are pleading guilty one by one. That's a good point, actually. So you send me a note. You send me a note. You don't want me to read, but you want me to believe. I'm sorry, bro. The LOZ Live, it's like a pattern. By the way, somebody sent me a note suggesting both sides were correct. No, both sides were not correct. It's a lie. Both sides were not correct. A side suggested the money was not accounted for and couldn't no record keeping. And an auditor general who is not on either side said, not so. So don't give me that. And say, don't read it. No, the notion might be in someone else's head. And you might be spreading that notion. Nonsense talk. So LOZ Live, it's like a pattern. The FNM asked where the VAT money gone, and it was found. Yes, that night I saw a foolish notion where the VAT money gone. We always knew where the VAT money gone. The PLP asked where the food relief money gone, and it was found. Receipts can always be produced after the facts. No, it's not. This isn't a question of no receipts after the fact, man. This is not that auditors are not you and me. Auditors know how to do their jobs. They know how to do their jobs to be able to establish the credibility of the things that they are going to put in an auditor's report. So stop trying to debase the professional aptitude of these accountants. Auditors do their job in accordance with international accounting standards to ensure the extent to which their say-so can be credible. And if you believe this nonsense that, receipts can be produced after the fact, don't believe nothing the auditor general published ever in the Bible. What kind of narrative is that? Are you defending somebody? What is it? What is that? So it's good day. What do you expect of a government that has candidates that speak to the election being nasty and that they will be the first to pull out the nasty tactics? Well, I don't know that to be true, that that's what will happen. There is unlikely to be any apology from the government to Mrs. Larson. It implies that we have elected persons who are very poor character. Well, the truth of the matter is, I can tell you, in the course of our history, politicians do not apologize. In the course of our history, they do not. Apologies is like taking a poison pill they feel. Because to admit that I was wrong. Mm-mm. So I'm not optimistic, but I'm just saying what is acceptable in a circumstance. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We're going to take a break for news. And when we come back, we continue our conversation. We'll be back after the news break.
Everybody, come take my hand. Come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm. Whatever weather, cold or warm.
This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news and intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversations. 96.9 FM.
I'm not afraid to take a stand.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad that you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Monday afternoon. If you want to give us a call on the show, the numbers are 323-6232. That's 323-6232 or 325-4316, 325-4316. You can also call us on 242-300-5720 if you're calling from the Family Islands. You can text us on 422-4796, or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. Our election is slated for November 24th. of course, you know that the late one, Vaughn Miller, was interred on Friday. And now there is a by-election that has been called for November 24th to replace left by his demise. And the government has indicated that it's selected, it's good for that by-election in the person of Senator Darren Pickstock, who I know. But I had an opportunity when I was chief negotiator actually to travel to Switzerland with and therefore interact with. As far as I know, no candidate has been named by the DNA or the COI, as far as I know. The Free National Movement also has not indicated yet whether it will contest. The leader of the opposition, Michael Pintard, indicated that he will, in short order, be making an announcement to that effect, even though both the Secretary General and Heather Hunt, I heard on shows, seem to have intimated that they had a candidate ready to go. Mr. Brown, I think is his name. Brian, who is the ratified candidate for the Golden Isles constituency for the general election. But as to the by-election, we don't know. This is a tricky situation for the Free National Movement. I'm just telling you my thoughts on the matter and thoughts represented by a number of other people too. It's a tricky situation. Because, you know, we are likely less than a year away from a general election. By-elections are really something else, okay? You probably spend more money and resources and time doing a by-election per capita than you do in a general election. Because all attention is on this one seat. And a government don't want to lose that seat, especially if it held it. Listen, the stakes are real for both sides. Very real for both sides. If the Progressive Liberal Party loses Golden Isles, it isn't just a loss. It sends shockwaves across the political landscape because it would be foreboding in relation to the future. Because Golden Isles is one of those constituencies that represent a great many constituencies in New Providence. And if you, a sitting government, lose a seat you hold in a by-election, the probability of a future loss in the general is much higher. Not only that, you lose this by-election, but all the resources at your disposal, both government and private, with all your ministers down there to do their walking around and talking around and trying to help people and do whatever is necessary. Don't nobody talk to me and tell me nothing but no, Daddy. I am telling you what happens. And you lose that seat, oh sugar. Now that you lose that against the backdrop that for the last five general elections, the government has changed. So you have a history of change after one term, and you lose a by-election of a seat you held. Oh, the government ain't gonna lose that seat. And the Prime Minister said so. The Prime Minister said so. He's quoted in the newspapers as saying, we need the Golden Isle seat. Well, that's true. Brian Rowell, sorry. Yeah, Brian Rowell. Brian Rowell, thanks for that. Oh, Brian Rowell is the COI ratified. Oh, okay, so there's a Brian Rowell who will run for the COI. Okay, so I'm being told that. He was ratified last night. So... The stakes are high. Now, if you are Michael Pintard, the leader of the opposition, the FNM, and you contest this seat, right? Given the by-elections, the history of by-elections, the odds are against you that you will win. Oh, I know some of you FNMs, you're all excited and you got all kind of this and that in your head about what is possible and all that kind of stuff. But governments more often than not win by elections. That's reality. Sir Lyndon Oscar Pinlan, a great, great Bahamian, popular Bahamian in South Andros, resigns. The Free National Movement is the government. And Sir Lyndon's seat is taken by the FNM in South Andros. Okay. So you say, oh, but didn't the Ingram beat the PLP in the Marco City by-election? Completely different circumstances scenario. Seat held by the former leader of the party, popularly held, right? In a time when the sitting government reputation and popularity, immense pressure. And when an upstart former PLP chairman was challenging Mr. Sir Lyndon, his mentor, and was doing a charismatic job at it. Yeah, the FNM won that one. Very unique set of circumstances. FNM lost the Elizabeth seat. Marginally so. But the number of votes was 2 votes. And there were some unique circumstances attached to that as well. I didn't say governments win all by elections, but they win most. So you face the probability, the higher probability of loss if you are the FNM. And that doesn't, listen, you all don't send me no bad information now. Someone say Brian Rule, COI. Someone say Brian Brown. Brian Brown is who? Anyway, I get it straight. Don't worry about it. So you, if you're the FNM and you lose that seat, now Mr. Pintard is facing 2 losses in a by-election. Mind you, they're all for PLP held seat and all under significantly sympathetic circumstances in the demise of the candidate. But you lose. And now you have this inertia, you have this trend of losses leading into the general election. That can have an effect. Okay, Brian Brown is the FNM ratified candidate for Golden Isles, period. Brian Rule. So we got Brian. Boy, let me tell you something. COI say, send a Brian in there. That way, you know, you got Brian. People them get a little confused. They may not be paying attention. Oh, shut up. Oh, hey, let me tell you. Nice. Yeah, so Brian Brown, FNM, Brian Rule, COI. You see what's happening there? You go inside the polls and all you see is Brian. Boom, boom, boom. You might guess the mix up. So the FNM, if it loses the seat, you know, then has to deal with this. But you lost the last one. Let me tell you something, but people in politics, boy. They just look at what they think is the trend. It is not unheard of. Of course, you know, you can have people on Mr. Pintard's side saying, oh, you have to contest. The MMP wasn't really popular down there. People frustrated and they want to change. And, you know, if you don't send somebody down there, you can look scared. And all that kind of stuff. Mr. Ingram was faced with by-election before as opposition leader, and he ain't contest. You know. But I'm saying, people, you can help FNM saying that. I can tell you one thing. It's a risk. It's a risk. That's all I'm saying is, you know, the government don't have no choice. Got to go, if it's not going to call a general election, it has to go and have the buy. But the government has the government resources, and the government has them other resources, and the government is going to win its seat, trying to win its seat. So it's a real situation. We have a call on the line. Go call. Caller, we're listening to you. Go ahead.
Good day, Brother Lang. How are you?
I'm right here, man.
Yeah.
What's up?
Let me ask you a question. You were in real good at frontline politics. You were a cabinet minister at one time. What was one of the most, troublesome, but what was one of the most funniest things you ever heard about yourself when you was in frontline politics? That when you heard that, they had to be talking with somebody else. Couldn't be talking with you. Because, you know, in politics, you hear some things, and when you check stock, with me running a campaign for somebody, and I heard things, I really thought they were talking about somebody else. I never knew that they were really talking about me. Tell somebody, tell me, say, there's meaning you, you know. I mean,
you're alone, look,
I am something that I
don't
laugh
answer.
At.
The only thing I could say about that is people, when they said I was Ingram's son.
Ah, Jesus, the same thing. I tell them the same thing. Because that's the only thing they can say that try throw a dot in your
Well,
your,
but that, your, that your, wasn't your, true. That wasn't, that wouldn't, that wouldn't, that wouldn't, that wouldn't, that wouldn't, no, but that wouldn't throw any dot in my face, because to have you with Alexander Ingram as a father would not have, would have been a proud something for me. That wouldn't have been a problem.
Okay, but
so
I
wasn't denying it because I saw it as something bad. I was denying it because it wasn't true. It was absolutely untrue.
I knew it wasn't true. I look at you and I just lose my sight, you know. I look at you and I look at Ms. Ingram, you're all way off. That's just like Chinese and African. You're all way, way off.
Yeah.
But
my daddy named Cedric. My daddy's name was Cedric Tyrone Lang.
Lang.
Yeah.
Now in Golden Arts. Okay. This. Mm-hmm. I've already heard about two or three reporters ask Mr. Pintard, no longer than Friday, somebody asked him again about this Brian Brown in Golden Arts. No, the candidate for Golden Arts for the by-election. He says, stay tuned.
Yeah.
So it isn't sure yet.
Yeah, but that's what we said. We said
that
we said.
Run.
Yeah, but, no, but, yeah, but we already said that. We indicated that he said that he would be making an announcement in short order.
Yeah, but what I'm saying towards that, what if he tells Mr. Brian Brown, listen, I will save you for the general election. I don't want nothing to happen to you. You're a good basketball player. You'll put him in that last quarter of the shootout, the winning shot. I will save you. Let's just put Dr. Dwayne France in there. Just to say, we have somebody in there. I guess it's a be put
listen,
somebody there.
That's not gonna happen. That's no, they either gonna
say,
run.
So use my,
no, but
let
man,
me,
but
let
that, but why? I don't want to waste time, man. I listen, listen. Stop. Okay, let's not waste time today. Let's not waste time. All right. Do I have another call on the line, bro, producer? Wasting time. All right, we have a text. So, Mr. Z, that's an easy fix. Just look for Darren. Don't get mixed up with those Ryans. Yeah, that's there right there. Yeah, if you were PLP, you would say that. His text says, Mr. Lang, hello, Mr. Lang. Hopefully the odds go as usual. The FNM will win the upcoming election if the odds continue to go in the right direction over the last past five elections. All right. This text says, good day, can you please ask whoever is responsible for the traffic lights? The two lights on Markey Street have been flashing for 3 days now, and many drive to use a traffic light when it's flashing. That is going to cause an accident. Well, I hope somebody's listening. So, yeah. Says no, I said neither side is 100% correct. No, I'm saying that ain't true. I'm saying that ain't true. So it's supposed to be. I'm saying you're dead wrong. The Auditor General indicated what was true. Okay, as far as the audit is concerned. Says Mr. Lang, undoubtedly priority considerations goes to those islands in the path of Hurricane Melissa, but the lack of planning for anticipated flood water pumping on New Providence Island and unanswered questions of now is annoying. Later effort to get accountability for the lapse in planning will be spoken over by pointing to the plight of those who were evacuated. That will be the sidestepping strategy. Okay. This says, good day, Lang. So funny, the PM said the officers in New York were entrapped. Now they're pleading guilty. How does the PM feel now? Good point. So good afternoon, Z. About 2 weeks ago, I observed the Progressive Liberal Party doing a memorial for former Minister Miller. They wait till the man died to present his wife with a certificate that he was a stalwart counselor in the PLP. Okay. This text says, I heard the people in Golden Isles complaining, begging the former member of parliament to fix the roads. He was on the TV that his government will soon get in his constituency to fix the roads. Now they can find the money to do everything. This by-election, Jax, that's how by-election go. All attention on winning the one seat. This text says, I advise the constituents in Golden Isles constituency to accept and take everything Prime Minister Davis and this government offer them in this by-election and vote them out. This text says, Z, I agree with everyone who said that the Free National Movement should have not or should not run a candidate in this by-election, but this time around, I believe the people have a surprise for the PLP. Okay. This text says, this time around could be different. I believe it's going to be different because the poor, pissed job Prime Minister Davis is doing as Prime Minister and the Minister of Finance. They are mismanaging our funds, and he's poor excuse for Prime Minister in the Ministry of Finance. And if you felt that same way during the by-election in Western and Bimini. This says, didn't North Abaco lose the FNM by-election and won the next general election? Yeah. No, but that was the FNM was, the FNM was opposition. Yeah, it isn't impossible to do so. I didn't say you can't win, but you also have to recognize what your odds are, though. That's not usual. All right, not usual. Didn't I say the government won the by-election? And so you it is possible there are by-elections the government won and then won the general election too. The PLP showed you that. So, you know, it matters. This text says, I listened to the people in Golden Isles constituency. It appears that Brian Brown, the candidate for the Free National Movement, has done the work and still doing it over 8 years now. I believe they are ready for him. Triple B, Brian B. Brown. Okay. Okie dokie. Well, you know, the leader has a decision to make, and no doubt he will. He will make that decision, no doubt. All I'm saying is it's not a simple decision, not a simple one for him to make. But it is for him to make. And we shall see. All right, we have some more text here. Let me see. Text says, why does PLP fella always digging in the FNM business? You ain't know why? It says, good day, Mr. Lang. Brian Brown is the man for Golden Isles. Okay. All right. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Good day, Mr. Lang. How you doing, man?
Hey, right here, man. What's up? Right here, man. Not an
easy decision. The decision has so many different facets of the results that could come from, you know, the outcome. And one being that, you know, Mr. Pintadas is thinking about his leadership, because if you, like you say, if you lose this one, and you got that in question, you know, you got Mr. Minnis still in the shadows, like it. And that gives, if Mr. Pintad loses this by-election, it gives question to, you know, a leadership challenge, never know. And then, you know, you also...
Or just a narrative, you all can't win with him. Yeah. No, I can't win with him, you know?
Exactly. And then, you have a candidate who has been working the constituency you know, we can say been on the ground. Everybody, a lot of people knows him. And he has an advantage also now because he's more visible than two new candidates, one just been out in and the other one, you know. So he's been on the ground longer. He's been on the ground when Vaughn Miller was an F&M candidate. So, you know, he has an advantage. So I don't think it's, you know, we talk about money. I don't think it's for the candidate himself. At this point in where we are at the election time, 6 months out from my election, you know, I you have to spend some money so you can pull in divisions. But, you know, I think if people are going to go with Mr. Brown this time, I think now might be the time for him, but maybe not for the party itself. So that's a part of it, from what I can see on the ground. And then taking the opportunity.
Listen to me one minute. So, you know, parties have the ability to get relatively good data on a situation on the ground. Okay? Now, a part of that data relies on the honesty of voters. So that's a big, and bro, listen to me, I ain't talking from no theory. Voters are peculiar. So what I'm saying is, it is possible for Mr. Pintard and those to gather the kind of data that says, you know, we are more likely than not to win.
Or we are more likely
than not to lose.
I'm in this constituency and I'm on the ground.
But see, let me tell you, honest with you, but listen to me. Let me tell you something, bro. If one of my folks came to me and said, you know, I'm on the ground here in Marco City and Fort Charlotte, and I can tell you, help me. You know why? Because you're one individual. And you could only anecdotally assess a circumstance for me. And I have to make what could be a win or lose general election decision on your say-so?
Not necessarily as it relates to being on the ground from my point of view. I'm talking about just gathering data, you know, just going in these polling divisions and just speaking to people, you know. And, you know, Maslow's theory on, you know, the immediate needs of people on this ground, on the ground here. Some people just need
That's one of the reasons why fighting against a government is so serious by election, because nobody could meet your immediate needs quicker than a government in a by election.
And I totally get that. But also, I wanted to ask you something as it relates to the constituency itself, and having a candidate like Brian Brown, because Eight years on the ground doesn't mean you're guaranteed. There's ain't no consolidation prize, and I say it all the time.
Mm-mm.
You know, it isn't guaranteed.
Mm-mm.
You know, but then again, you allow for a pick stock who got the government support to be on the ground for 6 months. You know, to be on the ground and to move the needle. Golden Isles is a flip seat. We know that. We've seen Michael Elkiris come, win, lose. You know, it's the flip seat. And usually when this seat flips, it's when the government is getting voted out. So I think the government now, that's why the Prime Minister stated that he need to win this seat. You know, it sends a clear message if he loses seat. If voters actually turn out in a by-election to vote, that's another thing. Are the people coming out to vote in a by-election?
You know?
So if we get a high voter turnout in this by-election, the PLP loses the seat, and the F&M don't have anybody there to run. You know, but I think it's going to go back to the PLP right now. And I think it's a smart thing for them to do is just sit this one out, you know?
Thank you, man. Appreciate you calling. This text says, you know what? Let's take a break here. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Z Live. I'm Chicago Lang, your host. We'll be back after this break.
Take a stand. Everybody. Come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm. Whatever weather, cold or warm, let me know that you're not alone. Holla if you feel like you've been down the same road.
reliable, and impactful printing services, look no further. Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life. We stand by our quality products that is second to none. Our affordable pricing and friendly, efficient staff makes Printmasters the ultimate choice for all your printing needs. We can deliver any type of printing services, from banners to booklets to business cards. You name it, we can print it.
Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life.
Located at the Nassau Guardian Building, telephone 302-2361.
There is a new king in town, and the only place to find him is at Burger King Nassau. Introducing the Cheesy Ring King, featuring two juicy flame-grilled beef patties stacked with American cheese, crisp bacon, sweet barbecue sauce, honey mustard, and the crown jewel. Three golden mozzarella rings served on a soft butter. It's bigger, it's better, and it's cheesier. Want just cheese rings? They're available as a side too. Get the Cheesy Ring King at any of Burger King Nassau's 7 locations. Available for a limited time only.
Boost your buying power with a margin loan at rates as low as 7.5%. A margin loan offers convenient flexibility, freeing up capital without liquidating your investments. Whether you're looking to diversify, fund a business opportunity, or refinance higher cost debt, RF provides access to cash within 48 hours for any purpose. Tailored, effortless, powerful. Discover how a margin loan can work for you. Visit rfgroup.com or call 603-6000. RF Bank and Trust. Money at work.
In the face of a storm, it's not just buildings that get tested. It's all of us. Insurance isn't just about repair. It's about recovery. So when the winds die down, you're already on the path forward. Having insurance can mean the difference between starting over and starting stronger. So talk to an authorized agent or broker of Bahamas First General Insurance about how the right coverage can support you through this season and whatever comes next. With Bahamas First, you're in safe hands in all seasons.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad that you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Monday afternoon. 236-2232 or 325-4316. You can call us from the Family Islands on 242-300-5720. You can text us on 422-4796 or WhatsApp me on 439-3043. This says, hey Z, Mr. Pintard is in a damned if you do, damned if you don't situation in Golden Isles. Yeah, I would say that's pretty much true. Of course, if he wins, huge if he wins. The Golden Isles was won by FNM first. Yeah, and then lost by the FNM. So what does that mean? Says, good day. It seems like your MP has to die to get something done in your community. Suck my teeth. Think that's so? So my opinion about the by-election in Golden Isles, the FNM is going to oppose running a candidate, leaving the door open for the COI candidate. This will result in independent and FNM voters supporting the COI, just to cause a spoiler for the PLP. What for the PLP going into the general election? I believe the FNM is playing a chess game. It's politics. You ain't got to worry about that. I don't agree with you at all. FNMs ain't going out to vote for COI. you could shut that down. I don't believe that to be true at all. We have callers on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Good afternoon, Minister.
Hey, how you doing, man? Papa?
As usual, this is my first time calling since you come on 12 o'clock, and I want to say welcome.
Thank
Minister.
You, man. Thank
yeah,
you,
I know you can continue doing a good job, just like what you're doing from 2 to 4. Minister, I wanted to find out something from you, if it's possible. I listen to the radio. I hear in this commercial where they're offering jobs to behemoths to work over by this new club here in Nassau, right? They are close to Paradise Island. But they saying on Paradise Island, I blind, I can't see. So I was wondering, like, if I thought it was like a little key or a little spot of land what they was on. Is it really on Paradise Island?
It's on Paradise Island, as far as I'm aware, because I remember the photo.
I could see it before.
It's on Paradise Island proper. That's my understanding.
I was wondering if it's by Club Med or where Holiday Inn used to be or where. But Minister, on this note, we'll be talking about it today. I hate to know my good friend had to die, right? But the Bahamian people, I think we was ready for the bell to be rung. Mm-hmm. You know, a by-election is not like, I mean, it's not a general election, but how they say it, this is going to be interesting or interesting.
Mm-hmm.
I'm waiting to hear. I mean, you know, I can't see, but I'm waiting to see what could happen.
It won't be interesting if the FNM does not contest. Because I think if the FNM does not contest, then Darren Pickstock, the PLP's candidate, will win outright.
Minister,
only if the FNM contests will it be interesting.
Minister, I always appreciate your opinion and take it dead serious. Only thing I still with this feeling thing, what you tell us, we can't go with feeling, go with what you know and what it is, right? Mm-hmm. If I think about what happened in the past and what we've been taught in this political thing and what has been happening, I would say I have to agree with what you and others saying. But I feel I have this feeling like this time around, like how you mentioned, if the FNN don't send a candidate in the COI or contestant, you know, I believe they like a wasp nest, you don't hit it. Anything is possible. I mean, I know anything is possible, but I wouldn't disbelieve Free National Movement supporters will vote for the COI. And I think it says a statement if the COI put a good beating on.
My brother? I understand. I understand. Let me tell you why. FNMs, not independent voters now. FNMs don't want to give no strength to COI or the PLP going into no general election.
And the PLPs wouldn't do it neither?
Exactly. No.
I'm not agreeing with that. I'm asking you. You think...
The PLPs won't do it. PLPs, especially PLPs, won't do it.
No, listen. So let me ask you this then. The people who Melinda Wilson and Kingsley, for example, was representing the public service workers who live in that area and the teachers them, you believe they could vote for Prime Minister Davis' party, the Minister of Finance?
Well, no, that's not a question related to the point that you were making. I don't know how they're going to vote.
I think this time could be different. I know what the past is all about, and I know what the lecturers like you, what we have learned and what we learned
I'm not talking about the past. I'm not talking about the past right now. I'm talking about what I know about FNM voters. And listen, FNMs could text in and tell you, bro.
Okay.
FNMs ain't voting COI in no by election.
I guess PLPs will tell you that too. Even the public service workers who was down there downtown, maybe that they also wouldn't vote for the COI or whatever.
I don't see that happening.
I will move past that. I don't want to say to you, I don't know if you watched the funeral or if you've been to the state funeral last week, Friday, for former Minister Warren Miller. Minister, you know, I can't see, but. I was saying, you might watch it. You might have been to state funerals before. You might have watched them on TV before. I couldn't see it, but I just listened to the radio and the TV at the same time, and it sounded. I didn't hear nothing political. I know the Prime Minister talk. He say what Prince King Charles say concerning one of his ministers.
I know how much you hear, but the reports coming to me was some politics was going on at the funeral.
You remember, I keep saying I can't see, right? I believe that's possible. But from what
I'm not talking about what you see. I'm talking about what I'm told with what was said, because it was about what was said. Yeah.
Oh, I like what, the leader of the Free National Movement had to say, but Warren Miller. I like everything what I heard. I just feel like a normal funeral with family members and stuff. I appreciate it was more. I know more could have been done, and I guess I could find out later what was said, what was wrong. But I appreciate how they said, my boy. You know.
I think the general tenor of it was a state funeral, quite befitting him. But I'm told by some of the comments made by not just Prime Minister, but by some of the other people who spoke, was quite political. That's what I'm told.
I listened to the, you know, the thing where they have, like, what you call the before the funeral, they had it on Wednesday night by one of the other stations than the way he used to work before. And the only thing I was listening, I hear one guy, one gentleman who's supposed to be trying to be a candidate for this present government in the next general election. And every time he opens his mouth, even on the day of it, speaking before the funeral start, it's like he keeps talking about, like, he head in the same direction, like, Vaughn Miller and people like Obie Wilscombe, Fred Mitchell, all of them used to wait. And I say to myself, why don't he just wait until it happens? Because he don't know if we're going to accept him or if the people is going to accept him. And I say that was poor to, you know, a dead man than you want to. And you're totally different. That's a decent human being. Who got, that's a hero. That's one of our soldiers. I proud of him and I thank God for the time I get to spend around him. Minister, you
appreciate,
keep up the good way. I can finish listening to what you got to say.
Thank you, Papa. Appreciate it. Thank you, man. We have another caller on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Hey, Shivago, what's up, homie?
Hey, right here, man. What's up?
I haven't called into your talk show for over a year, but I want to weigh in with this by-election as a person who is campaigning in there with my member of parliament, which, you know, you got persons, you know, going to try to convince the people with the PLP. I'm a supporter of the PLP. I want to say this to you, right? And I want to ask you a serious question. We had a by-election. I was over there in November, right? And Mr. Michael Pintard is the opposition leader, right? He lost that, right? Now, what is the odds for Mr. Michael Pintard to ratify Mr. Brian Brown and he lose? Could the FNM put a no confidence in him as him being the opposition leader?
Well, the only way you could elect a leader is in convention.
Right.
So I don't see that happening. But people could take steps and measures, try to do whatever they want to do any given time. But, you know, but you elect your leaders in convention if a leader doesn't resign.
I think... I subject to be corrected too. I think from we was in this political lifestyle in the country, I think the opposition won twice in a by-election. But let me say something to you, Mr. Lang.
But I said that though. I said that.
Yeah.
I said that in Marco City.
Okay.
The
right.
Opposition won, and then there was one other seat. I said that.
But I could be real with you, and I could be real with your callers. Election goes with finances, with another in layman terms, money.
That ain't being real. That's not accurate. That's not true. That's not the only thing.
Listen, let me say something to you. Let me finish, right? As a PLP, and I can say this on the radio, I might get condemned for it. We all know that criticism when it came to the representative then, Mr. Vaughn Miller and Golden Axe. All right, we all know that. We all know the road needs to fix. And we see now here is Mr. Darren Pickstock, the young gentleman, trying. You know, but I could be real with you. The PLP gonna win that seat. I support the PLP. The reason why I said that, boy, Mr. Light, for the opposition to win right now, whoever win that seat, if the opposition mentioned they can't win, they can't help the people. Anyway, all you have a good day, brother.
Yeah, man. Take care. It says, Mr. Lang, my gut feeling tells me Brian Brown can win the seat. It's going to be a rough campaign, but the people are just tired of the PLP foolishness, says that texter. This text says, this is the one time if I was leader of the FNM, I would pull the trigger. I never thought we would win in West End, but the candidate been on the ground 8 years. He can be that boost Pintard need to not run. And look weak can also send a wrong message that the party is not ready. I say go, Pintard, go. I don't, but y'all is, y'all, so wisdom sometimes is weakness. Y'all stay right there. When God sent Jesus, he didn't send him looking like no strong man with no army and so forth, but look at the victory he got. Only some of y'all will have this narrative about what look weak and what ain't look weak. Being wise in the face of circumstances ain't weakness, it's strength. So I don't buy that. We have a call on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Like, how are you today?
I'm right here, man. How are you?
I'm great, man. Listen, the challenge that I'm in my constituency, which I live, I've never lost
Polling Division 14, since it's been created, since that would be the great most of his officers on social media has already left him and joined the PLD. Okay? They have disgruntledness against Mr. Brown because they're simply saying that he, I mean, they allegedly say that he doesn't want to spend any funding. So, you know, it'd be hard for Mr. Brown to win the Golden Isles constituency if you don't have the influencers with him and they join the PLD.
Okay, so let me ask you a question. No, hold on. You are saying, they are saying that he isn't going to win because he doesn't have the funding or he isn't willing to spend the funds? That's what you said?
No, they're not saying he don't have the funding. They said he don't want to spend any funds. That's what they allegedly saying.
You don't want to spend any funding?
No.
Okay, so let me say something to you. I've been there with voters too. I've been there with voters who say, oh, Lang, man, give me this, we need that, the next thing. And I tell them, no, sorry, Bob. And I've won even after that. Because if you got to pay people to support you, you ain't have no support.
No, you're correct. What I'm saying to you is this, is that Mr. Brian Brown, he is known basically in the Coral Harbor, part of the constituency, which is six polling divisions, right? But he has spread his ring more widely. And what Mr. Pickstock is doing right now, he's been accepted by the people, the residents of...
But listen, man, I don't... You trying to campaign for Mr. Pickstock on my show. No, you campaigning for my... Listen, in a by-election, the candidates are a small part of the picture. If the F&M decide to contest, the F&M going to campaign. And they'll be all over the place. If the PLP contest as it is, then the PLP goes in and do, and they'll be all over the place. See, there's going to be... The candidates are mere instruments. See about them? It's about parties going to win an election.
No,
parties.
Let me ask you one question, though.
Yeah, man.
last three by-election, won the last three by-election in this record?
Who?
The last three by-election. Didn't the PLP won the last three by-elections?
Not to my knowledge, because one of the last three wasn't the Selinden seat.
Pardon me? No.
One of the last three wasn't Selinden seat.
No, sir. It couldn't have been.
Tell me what the last three was. Obi Wilchcom.
Yeah.
What's his name?
Who's
that? Abaco by election and up. Oh yeah,
History is going to repeat itself.
Listen, man. I understand. You have a supported candidate. You supporting the PLP can win the candidate the seat. Okay, all right.
That's not what I'm saying. I'm speaking about.
Yeah, that's right, but that's the campaign. Thank you very much, man. I gotta go. Ladies and gentlemen, we have another call on the line, and then we take that final break. Well, producer, maybe we'll just break early. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Mr. Lang.
Yes, sir.
Good afternoon. I really thought you was coming back, you know.
Yeah, but that this ain't about me. I'm not having that discussion.
No, man.
Let's talk about what we're talking about now or otherwise. Let me move on, bro.
Okay.
All right. All right. Let's move on. Let me read these final notes because we got to go. Said that's Mitchie's a PLP troll talk. He's a paid PLP troll. Oh, my gosh. All right. Okay. It says, hold it to your chest. Wait it out. Let them spend all the money. Then announce a no contest. We have one last call on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Hey, Brother Lang.
How you doing?
Now's the time, brother. Based on what's going on down that area. Boy, the F&M have no other choice but to run Mr. Brian Brown.
You always have a choice.
They got a good chance.
Okay, you think they have a good chance? Okay,
yeah.
All right, bro. Thank you. Says, good afternoon. I listen to this radio station every day. Often the people who call in and text the shark shows tend to lean towards the F&M, so mostly you would hear or... a one-sided opinion. Don't be surprised by the outcome of this upcoming election. people are claiming that the PLP doing foolishness and they're tired. Well, honestly, I don't see the FNM doing enough to win this one. They still seem divided to me. So now you're saying mostly the people who call are leaning toward the FNM. That's your narrative. Most of the people who called today was PLP supporters. Most of them. But what happened today? Tell me what happened today. Boy, you all is up and else. So, Mr. Lang, if there's 7,000 voters in Golden Isles and the FNM don't run a candidate and the PLP win, only 2,709 people will vote. Should that tell you something? It should. It should. This says, I'm also hearing that Mr. Wells is running as an independent. Wouldn't this split FNM votes in favor of the PLP? No, it will not. It will not. With the greatest respect to Mr. Wells, I don't see it. I don't see FNMs doing that. No. So you see, the blind poll might be correct. This time could be different. Do you agree? Anything is possible. Anything is possible. But that's not how life goes. Anything is possible, you know. Anything is possible. You know, it's possible for me to win a lottery. But I don't play because the odds ain't in my favor. But it's possible. Anything is possible. This text says the whole machinery of the state with the public treasury of the PLP newly created lucrative oligarchy would descend upon Golden Isles. Those who can be bought will be bought. Where do you think the source of funds comes from to repair roads that the PLP candidate is bragging about? Don't be fooled. Choose quality representation. You have an idea what time it is. Say, AZ, people judge by their eyes and perception is everything in politics. Yep. Isn't everything. Perception isn't everything. It's not everything. It's some things. Some things, but it's not everything. Says, good day, Mr. Lang. Mr. Brian Brown have a good chance of winning, mainly because the Bahamian people are fed up with this government and the constituents are fed up in that area. That's so you say. That's what you say. So Wells is running in Bamboo Town as an independent. That's what I thought. But I even if he ran in Golden Isles, I don't see that making a difference. I really don't. But, you know. Okay, I think that's all the text. I think that Mr. Pintard has a judgment to make, and it is no wonder he is taking his time to make that judgment. It's not an easy, straightforward call one way or the other. Experienced people I know, most, don't think that the FNM should contest. They think that the FNN should focus their attention on the upcoming general election. If you win, obviously that gives you great momentum going forward, but that's if you win, if you lose. So if you win, you get momentum. If you lose, what happens? And, you know, people trying to stoke you, but you're weak and all that kind of stuff, may not ever matter to when people really decide they want to change anything. You weak. Because somebody say so? I don't run into a fire. Because I'm scared, I ain't got no courage, and I'm therefore weak? Please. Wise man looks at the odds and weighs those odds and decide whether doing anything is necessary or not. And having people goad you about who weak and ain't weak, that's just childish talk. But we will find out soon enough. We'll see soon enough. And we'll see how it turns out. Ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad that you could join us here today. We're going to pay our respects to our sponsors. And then, listen, you all have a great, great afternoon.
To take a stand, take a stand. Everybody, come take my hand. Come take my hand.
Don't wait for a storm to arrive. Stock up on hurricane supplies, make home repairs, purchase a generator, and more this hurricane season with a Fidelity personal loan. Make that move today. Call 356-7764.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
At Cleveland Clinic, you set your course. not cancer. So when your journey takes an unexpected turn, you seek out the experts who've conquered it before, and you forge new paths to help fight cancers. For every route to a cure, for every care in the world, see how we're innovating cancer care at Cleveland Clinic today.
Craving something with bold flavors? Introducing the new Bacon Portobello Mushroom Melt, only at Wendy's. Our hot, juicy beef stacked with crispy applewood smoked bacon, savory sautéed portobello mushrooms, and drenched in our rich, melty cheddar cheese sauce, all on a warm, toasted bun. Gotta be craveable, gotta be Wendy's. Available for a limited time only.
It's time to upgrade the way you enjoy at-home entertainment. Alive Fiber is here. Enjoy all your favorite channels and streaming apps, all at lightning-fast internet speeds with affordable bundles, and it's only a click away. Visit www.alivefiber.com to sign up now. Stay connected, live your life. It's good to be alive.